Thank you for joining us today. This is Elder Nathan Meeks, pastor of the Fort Wayne Primitive Baptist Church. During this time of pandemic, we're not able to meet collectively as a church body, but through the blessings of God and technology, we hope to still bring a message from God's Word, a message that would be comforting and edifying to the people of God, and above all else, glorifying to the name of God.
Immortal, life that endures forever.
We are indeed thankful today for the many blessings that we have and the ability that we have to bring to you a message in this manner. If you have any questions or prayer requests that you'd like to have mentioned, please write to us at PastorNathanMeeks@gmail.com. Again, that address is PastorNathanMeeks@gmail.com. As far as our meeting schedule, the Fort Wayne Church will not meet for public worship for the entire month of April. Lord willing, we'll resume our worship services on the first Sunday in May. While this time apart is difficult, may we each utilize it to grow closer to God and realize what a tremendous blessing we've had these many, many years in being able to come to the house of God. Hopefully, our faith will yet grow in this experience and will resolve within ourselves to be more faithful to His kingdom and His great cause. Join with me in prayer today. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before You, and we thank You for the many blessings that You have given to us. We thank You, dear Lord, for the health and strength that You've provided and the sustainment that You've given to us until this day. We ask that You would be with all of Your ministering servants this world over today, that You would give them the liberty of their calling, that they might reach the minds and the hearts of Your people and convert them to Your wonderful truths. We ask that You would be with us in this time of pandemic, that You would continue to providentially intervene in this matter as an able God. Even though we face uncertain times in this life and unprecedented times, we know that Thou art able. And we know that Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so even though we may look around this world and we see nothing but change and decay, we can take comfort in knowing that the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today. And dear Lord, we ask that You would be with those that are suffering because of this coronavirus, those that are on beds of affliction, that You would raise them up and heal them if it would be according to Your will. And not just the ones facing illness from this virus, dear Lord, but illnesses because of other reasons, other sicknesses of life, and other infirmities of the flesh, dear Lord. We would ask that You would raise them up and heal them as the great physician. We would ask that You would be with those that are dealing with job loss and financial hardships and depressions and marital issues, whatever issues they're facing in life. We don't know, but You know the needs of all Your people. And so we ask that You would see to their needs, visit their needs, dear Lord, today. We ask that You would be with Fort Wayne Church specifically, but not with just Fort Wayne, all of Your churches this world over, that You would continue to add to them, that there would be a great ingathering to Zion. And we ask, dear Lord, that You would forgive us of where we fail You. We know that there are many faults and failures of our own, that there are many times that we do not live up to the grace that You have given to us, and there have been many times that we have not lived the godly lives that we should have. And so we ask that You would forgive us, continue to strengthen us, lead, guide, and direct us in this life, dear Lord. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Amen.
Bearing shame and
Bibles with you, I'd like to turn your attention to the 20th chapter of the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 20. For the last several Sundays that we met collectively, the Fort Wayne Church endeavored to study through the book of James, and I have not given up on that study, and we may resume that next week, but today I'd like to take a break from that and look at Psalm 20. And in this psalm, we're going to find many wonderful lessons, but I want to principally look at one this morning, and that is to trust God, not the blessings of God. And so to begin with, we'll read the entire psalm with it being only 9 verses long. David writes, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call." This psalm is one of that many believe to be messianic. In other words, they believe it to be prophetic of Christ, and it may very well be. I'm not doubting that this morning, and in fact, if you look to the psalm and reflect upon it through the knowledge we have of Jesus Christ, there does seem to be many things in the psalm that would speak about his life. For example, verse 1 speaks about the day of trouble. Well, we know that Christ had many days of trouble as he lived on this earth. Isaiah says that he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we find, too, in the book of Matthew in chapter 26 and verses 38 and 39, that Christ, speaking to the 12, said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." And Paul in Hebrews 5 and 7 says that in the days of his flesh he offered prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. So we know from the clear testimony of Scripture that Christ had many, many days of trouble. And we also know that the Lord God heard him during that time of trouble. We know that God sent help, whether it be his words of affirmation and encouragement, or sending angels to strengthen Christ. And that Christ was ultimately defended or delivered from the tomb. He stated in Psalm 16 and verse 10, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." You see, his being raised from the tomb was God's stamp of approval on his sacrifice. God was well pleased in the work of his Son, and in that divine justice of God was satisfied. In verse 3 of this psalm, it speaks of God being pleased with the offerings and sacrifices. Again, prophetically speaking of Christ, we know that God was well pleased with the works of his Son. And so we could go further with that this morning, but suffice it to say, this psalm can be correctly interpreted as being a messianic or prophetic psalm. But when a psalm such as this was penned, there was also an immediate application for it. The immediate application is that David and Israel were about to go to war, and this was their cry before the battle. In the first few verses, we see the people of Israel praying for their king. And then in verses 6 and through verse 8, David is responding with great confidence in the Lord. And in verse 9, in unison, we see the people and David again petitioning the Lord. And so in a time of trouble and in a time of war, what do we see here? We see a praying people. Now surely we can find a lesson in that. The people of God ought always to be a praying people. Even in times of goodness, in times of peace, we ought to be a praying people. But certainly in times of distress and uncertainty, warfare and calamity, we ought to be praying people. Isn't it wonderful news that in these days of trouble, the Lord can and does hear our prayers? That the Lord truly is a very present help in trouble? And what's the nature of the prayer here? That God will defend or deliver thee. And just as Jacob was delivered in all of his troubles, that same God is defending or delivering us today. He sends help from the very throne room of God, from the very sanctuary of God. He sends help from other children of his. Out of Zion, we receive blessings and strength for troubling days. You know, I can tell you today that I have received strength and help from Zion in troubling days. I can look back at my own life and remember times when wonderful saints of God came to my rescue, when I thought there was no way that I would make it through, when I thought that my whole world would come crashing in and I just couldn't see my way clear in any direction. In those times of life, there's been wonderful help from the Lord, from Zion. Now, who are these people praying for? Interestingly, they're not praying for themselves, so to speak. They're praying for David because they recognize that David's victory is their victory. Again, we see the messianic undertones here. The Lord's victory was our victory. That's why we can sing that song so emphatically, "Victory in Jesus." The Lord fought our battle when we didn't have any strength of our own, when we didn't even care that there was a battle going on. The Lord fought our battle on our behalf and won the victory for us. And so these people are praying for David because they recognize that if David loses, they lose. You know, what a timely and refreshing way to consider praying for leaders. We're taught to remember our leaders, to obey our leaders, to pray for our leaders. But yet, for some reason in today's world, many people work against their leaders. Many people are just watching and waiting for their leaders to fail, so to speak, so that they may rejoice. But that wasn't the attitude of the people of Israel. They wanted very badly for their leader to win, because if he didn't, they weren't going to win either. These people were going to rejoice in the salvation afforded to David. They were going to set up their banners of deliverance. They were going to set up their banners of victory. And David then, in verse 6, is very confident that the Lord would bless him. You know, David's confidence is something that I wish I just had a small portion of. David's confidence in God shined brightly many times in his life. Remember when he was before King Saul, and he told Saul that the Lord who delivered him from the lion and the bear would deliver him from the giant Goliath? And then actually standing face to face with that giant, he declared again with great confidence and boldness that God would deliver him in that battle, and that the victory would be his, such that the Philistines would see there's a God in Israel. I wish I had that confidence. I wish I had the measure of faith that David did. And so David here, in response to the people, is stating, I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. Again, there's a messianic undertone there as far as Jesus being the anointed of God, just as David was chosen by God himself. But then David goes on to say, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Again, David is expressing great confidence in God and teaching those without confidence in God are sure to fail. They'll be brought down, but we are risen and stand upright. Then, as I said before, in unison, they're petitioning again that the Lord will hear them when they call. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning, there was one lesson I wanted to focus on, and that was the lesson of trusting God, not the blessings of God. You say, well, Brother Nathan, where in the world did you get that lesson? Well, it's found right there in verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. In the world today, people rely and trust on different things, don't they? They think that in times of trouble, these things will deliver them. I think that we have recently seen that to be untrue. The nations that fought against Israel were trusting in their numbers, in their advanced military skill, in their weapons of warfare, in their horses and chariots. Now, of course, from one point of view, a horse is better to have in time of battle, right? A horse can run faster than a human. It has greater endurance than a human. It can carry more weapons than a human. It can swim against currents better than a human. It can use its own body even against the enemy. And chariots are even better than horses alone. The chariots under consideration here are the chariots used in battle. And they had these long spikes and blades coming out of the wheels. And they would simply charge into the line of men. And those spikes and blades would just cut the men down as though they were tall grass in a field. And Israel did not have legions of horses and chariots. They didn't have a cavalry like the other nations. In fact, in Deuteronomy 17 and verse 16, they were instructed to not have these weapons of warfare. And Solomon actually broke this commandment, though, in 1 Kings 10 and verses 26 and 27. We find there that Solomon is said to have gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots, that's 1,400, and 12,000 horsemen. But you see, Israel didn't need those horses and chariots. Why? Because they had God, who is greater than all of the horses and chariots combined. How did horse and chariots do for Pharaoh? How did they do any good when he pursued the children of Israel? You know, my understanding is that even still today, they're finding pieces of chariots and wheels at the bottom of the Red Sea. And what was the word of the Lord concerning battles in Deuteronomy chapter 20? He said, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou, be not afraid. You know, how in the world could we take comfort in that? When we go out and we see all of these men standing before us, more men than we have on our side, and we see all these horses and chariots and weapons of war, how in the world could we say, be not afraid? How in the world could we take comfort in that? Sometimes I think if I were on foot with not horses and chariots and saw an array of the enemy before me with strong beasts and chariots with blades and spikes, you know what I'd be doing? I'd probably be running for the hills. I'd be looking for a nice cave to hide out in for a little while until the storm passes by. But that's not what we're supposed to do. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee. And in verse 4 of Deuteronomy chapter 20, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. What about when David was facing an enemy in 2 Samuel chapter 10? Verse 18 says, and the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew the men of 700 chariots and 40,000 horsemen. How did David do that? Well, go back up to verse 12. In 2 Samuel chapter 10, and you'll find these words, be of good courage. The Lord do that which seemeth him good. So again, what was the lesson? The lesson was that the people of Israel need not trust in these things because God was greater. Looking at God as the omnipotent God of this universe, how could you put your trust in anything besides him? All other things would fall short, wouldn't they? Now, what's interesting is that Israel had chariots and horses. They may not have had as many chariots and horses as the enemies did, but they still had a great number of chariots and horses. And these chariots and horses should be seen as a blessing from God, not just in a time of battle or in warfare, but just in general. They were no doubt blessings to the Lord's people. They made life easier to some extent. They made things more convenient. They made travel easier. They made work and chores easier. They were temporal blessings of God. Just like we have automobiles and tractors and riding lawnmowers and other machinery with a certain number of horsepower, and these things are a blessing from God. You know, just the other day I was out mowing my yard for the first time of the season, and it took me about 90 minutes to mow, and that was on a zero-turn riding mower. It took me about 90 minutes, and I just thought, what a blessing that is from God, that I don't have to be out here push mowing this yard. I don't have to be out here with scissors or something of that nature going at this yard. Instead, I have this wonderful blessing in this riding mower. And I'm convicted that I'm often taking those things for granted in my life. Many huge blessings, many small blessings of the Lord even, I take for granted in my life. I like to complain about things. I complain about my mower. I complain about my car. I complain about everything, it seems like. That's really what I've become, is a professional complainer in this life. And with this quarantine that's going on, it's just gotten worse. I sit around the house and I find things to complain about. But the fact of the matter is, I've got so many reasons to be thankful. The Lord has given me so many proverbial horses and chariots. And surely you can survey your life and see that the Lord has been gracious to you. You should be able to see many of the wonderful blessings that He's provided to you. It may not be a natural horse or an actual chariot, but they are nevertheless blessings of God. But here's the point. David says, we have blessings from God, no doubt, but I don't take comfort in those blessings. I don't take courage in those blessings. I don't find strength in those blessings. I don't look to those blessings of God to save me. Instead, I look to God Himself who gave me those blessings. Does that make sense today? Think about some of the blessings that we have in this life. And those blessings that are impacted even by this coronavirus. We have the blessings of a home, of a house to keep us out of the weather and to give us shelter. We have the blessings of a job and the ability to provide for ourselves and our families. We have the blessings of automobiles. We have the blessings of family members and friends. We have the blessings of entertainment to take our minds off the cares of life for a short time. Now, do you place your confidence in those things? Do you place your trust or deliverance in those things? If you dare to do that, you're trusting in the blessings of God instead of God Himself. And that's dangerous ground. What does David say? He says they're brought down and fallen because they've trusted in the wrong thing. Those blessings, apart from the intervention of God, will not deliver you in a time of trouble. Just as horses and chariots could not and should not be depended upon, neither should the blessings of God in our life be depended upon to save us apart from God Himself. Now, how many are in danger of losing their homes during this crisis? How many millions and millions of people and families have had their ways of life shattered due to unexpected job loss? How many millions are about to lose their automobiles? How many have already lost loved ones, or at the least have been separated from their loved ones? How completely fragile and ungrounded is the entertainment and sports arena that one could look at that now and say, there was ever a chance or ever a hope of that saving me? All of these different things that we've depended upon, all these different things that we have put too much stock in, that we have made gods of this world out of, all of these things are useless apart from God's intervention. And we see clearly that we cannot and should not depend upon them to deliver us. It's not these blessings of God that save us. It's God Himself. God is the one that makes the difference. You take comfort and courage in your houses, lands, bank accounts, stock market, and retirement accounts. The entertainment industry, these things vanish and fade away. Yet there's a temporal blessing to them, but they're not worthy of our attention and our adoration, our praise, and our devotion like God Himself. They're not worthy of taking our comfort, encouragement, and strength from them. It's God that we hope in. It's God that is worthy of our devotion. It's God that we should take our comfort, encouragement, and strength from. God and God alone makes the difference. That's no doubt why Paul says in Romans, if God be for us, who can be against us? If we look to spiritual things and our home in heaven, it's not uncommon to see those that have put their confidence in the temporal blessings of God rather than God Himself. So many in the religious world, they look to the Word of God to save them eternally. They put their confidence in the written and preached Word of God, or they put their confidence in their own morality, in some other arm of flesh, in their own confession of faith. And they'll say, I know I'm saved because I have done this or I have done that. They'll say, I know I'm saved because I believe and I understand the Word of God. I know that these men over here in this region will be saved because we have dozens, if not hundreds, of missionaries in that part of the world. But that's not the things that we should put our confidence in. Those are blessings of the Lord, no doubt. Wonderful blessings that we have and experience in this life. What a tremendous blessing we have in the written Word of God to look to for guidance in this life, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to motivate us to do better. What a wonderful blessing we have in the preached Word of God, in the ministry of God. You know, just as a side note, I'm afraid that too many in the world don't see the ministers of God for the true blessings that they are. They fail to realize it. They need to pray for these men that are standing upon the walls of Zion. And they fail to realize that they need to pray to God that He would send more of these laborers into His fields. What a wonderful blessing we have in them. What a wonderful blessing we have in the church. You know, another side note, people look to the ministers to save churches. And it's true that ministers and their conduct can condemn a local assembly. But it's not the minister, that temporal blessing from God that will save that body. It's God Himself that will flourish it and make it to grow. That's why we sing that hymn, Savior, not gospel minister, but Savior, visit thy plantation. Grant us, Lord, a gracious reign. All will come to desolation unless thou return again. And the hymn writer goes on to say, Lord, revive us. Lord, revive us. All our help must come from Thee. But those things, these temporal blessings, churches, ministers, the Word of God, they won't save us for heaven. A lot of folks put their trust and their confidence in these things. These temporal blessings, they think that they'll save them for heaven, but they won't. We can't put our confidence in these blessings of God. We put our confidence in God Himself, that He will save us. You know, the gospel message is not that something saved us, but that someone saved us. And that someone is Jesus Christ, the eternal God, the eternal Son of God. Notice Hebrews 1 and 3. When He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And that's again why Paul said, if God be for us, not the gospel preacher, not the written or preached Word of God, not the whole entirety of Zion, but if God be for us, who can be against us? You see, that's a rhetorical question. Who can stand against the God of heaven and prevail? There's none greater. He alone is God, and there is none else. Even all the blessings of God Himself will not save you. Of course, a comforting part in this is not that things in this life are useless or frivolous without God. While that's instructional, that's not entirely comforting. The comforting part is that God, who has showered His blessings down upon us, will not abandon us. When everything seems against us, when we stand ready for battle and notice the legions of horsemen and chariots, when we notice more against us than with us, and when it seems like there's no earthly way we'll see the light of tomorrow, He will hear our prayers in our time of trouble. He will send help from His sanctuary and from Zion. He is a very present help in trouble. And it's in these days of adversity that we should look to Him, knowing that He cares for us. And He that careth for us can and will sustain us. We put our trust in Him, our entire heart, and we lean not unto our own understanding. We acknowledge Him and trust that He'll direct our paths. To us then who haven't trusted on the blessings of God, but God Himself, to those there is a better tomorrow. We'll be risen and stand upright. To those that merely trust in the blessings of God and not God Himself, there's a destruction and devastation headed their way. There's heartache and discomfort, and there's yet a downward trajectory. They are brought down and fallen. And so our prayer should be today and always, save Lord, the Lord Himself. We're looking to Him, save Lord. Let the King, that is not referring to King David, but I believe that's referring to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, hear us when we call.
Worthy of praise is Christ our Redeemer.
We thank you for listening today, and we pray that God will bless this message to enrich your life. If you believe today that you're a sinner saved by grace, and nothing but the grace of God alone will save you for heaven, we invite you to come and be with us anytime at Fort Wayne Primitive Baptist Church. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., and our address is 2006 Nutman Avenue, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Again, 2006 Nutman Avenue, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Until that time, may God richly bless you, is our prayer.
Lift up the voice in praise and devotion, saints of all earth before Him should bow. Angels in heaven worship Him, saying, worthy art thou, worthy art thou, worthy art thou, worthy of riches, blessings and honor, worthy of wisdom, glory and power, worthy of earth and heaven's thanksgiving, worthy art thou, worthy art thou, worthy art thou. Lord, may we come before Thee with singing, filled with Thy Spirit.